Good morning and welcome back to another edition of High Desert Dialogue, conversations with Regina and Roxanne, right here on Talk 960, brought to you by Providence St. Mary Medical Center. COVID-19 cases are rising in our high desert. Make your appointment today to protect yourself, your family, and our community. Schedule your free appointment at a convenient location near you through myturn.ca.gov. Message brought to you by trusted friends in the high desert, Providence St. Mary Medical Center, and the San Bernardino County Department of Public Health. We're keeping it local with high desert issues, events, and interesting people. You can hear us every weekend, Saturdays at 9 a.m. and Sundays at 8 a.m. on Talk 960 and talk960.com. Let's get to it.
Well, good morning, Roxanne.
It's great to be back with you, Regina.
I know. It's a beautiful fall weekend
yes.
in the high desert.
Yes. Thanks for tuning in to Conversations with Regina and Roxanne.
Absolutely. And we have a really exciting show. You know, I'm always excited about how community comes together when we partner in ways, especially to provide resources and services and fill those gaps of what's missing
Absolutely.
In our community. And today couldn't be a better example of that with these two wonderful guests that we have. I'll get into it a little bit more about why I'm so excited about this, because this is a resource and service that has been missing from the high desert, I believe, ever since I've been here, and I've been here 32 years, right?
Yes.
So I'm really excited about it. But I want to introduce Cassandra Black, who is the Associate Director of Operations for Partners Against Violence. And I also want to introduce Nicole Orr, who is the Chief Philanthropic Officer. I think I got that correct, right, Nicole?
You got it.
For Providence St. Mary's. I want to welcome both of these ladies to Conversations with Regina and Roxanne.
Hi, welcome.
Really want to tell you how excited and happy I am for the individual work that you do, but for this collaboration and partnership that you have found yourself engaged in. And just so our listeners know and understand a little bit about it before we really jump off and get into the details of it, St. Mary's has committed to cultivating and developing a SART unit, which is a sexual assault response team and facility on site at the St. Mary's campus in Apple Valley. And the significance of that for me is the fact that this type of service and resource has not existed in our high desert. Like I said, I know I've been here 32 years and I don't think that we've had this facility, but we now have it. And what that means is that those who've experienced issues of sexual assault, rape, those things that we really don't like to talk about, but they exist, will now not have to go down the hill, Roxanne, to get the services and access the resources that they need, because we clearly have.
And that's important.
That unit, that facility, those services and resources here in the high desert.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's incredibly important.
It is.
Right? It's not necessarily a feel-good, fun type of subject, but it's a reality in our community. And I just want to applaud both Partners Against Violence and Providence St. Mary's for coming together, identifying the need, and then being a solution and working together to address this need. So ladies, welcome.
Welcome.
Thank you so much for the extraordinary work that you're doing. And I wanted to start with you, Cassandra, and have you give us a little bit of background and history, not only on Partners Against Violence, but also your partnership with Providence St. Mary's around this SART project.
Of course. Well, first, thank you, Regina and Roxanne, and Nicole on the other line for having me, and it is a pleasure to be here.
Great.
Thank you.
The first thing I guess I want to say about Partners Against Violence, we were formerly known as San Bernardino Sexual Assault Services, so mm-hmm. some people may identify us with that name as well. We've been around since 1973, actually, and I believe we nonprofit around 1975.
Okay.
So we have been around now for 49 years and been in the high desert for as long as I've been here, which has been 20 years. And we probably were only here about 3 or 4 years prior to my coming. And so our services are basically very typical in the way that we are a nonprofit agency. We are recognized by California as being a rape crisis center.
Okay.
And we are under that umbrella of recognition by the Governor's Office of Emergency Services, as we call it Cal OES.
Okay.
Okay, and what we do with our services is basically we are direct services to our clients, and that means that we offer counseling services to individuals and families and significant others starting at the age of 6. And we also do many other things with the counseling, such as support groups, workshops, those types of things. So from the moment that a person discloses to us that they have been sexually assaulted, we literally can be with them from the beginning of that journey all the way to the end. And what comes in the interim of that would be offering them accompaniment. Mm-hmm. And that would be with law enforcement, their interviews. It would be also, of course, to the hospital, which we're going to talk more about, SART.
Mm-hmm.
It will be also advocacy, making sure that we are addressing their needs in the community with our resources or with just help in trying to even ask about their rape kits. When are they available? What can they do to get more information about the interviews with law enforcement? We will go to court with them. We work heavily and closely with the district attorney's office. And so we are doing all of these things as well as coming out into the community and making sure that the community is aware of sexual assault, making sure that they have enough education for prevention. We have 6 office locations throughout San Bernardino County and East Riverside County.
Okay.
And that would be, first of all, our main office in San Bernardino, and then we have our other Cal OES offices, which was Coachella Valley and Morongo Basin, and then we have satellite offices, which would be Redlands, Yucaipa, and the High Desert in Victorville.
Right.
And so we all perform the same works, but this particular office has not had any type of SART. And so, therefore, we don't usually have volunteers because we have a certain ETA, which is 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And going down that Cajon Pass can be very unpredictable.
Yes.
So, therefore, we have not been really invited to participate in this program. So we're very excited and very thankful to Providence St. Mary for stepping in and just starting to organize and plan to the point it's going to happen now.
Right.
And so it's going to be so much easier for people who are victimized, who are survivors, because they literally can't come from Needles all the way down to Fontana and Redlands, which are our designated SART hospitals at this time.
Right. And so this is making that difference. Cassandra, I want to thank you for the work that you guys are doing and the advocacy. Right? Because that's really, you stand in the gap a lot of times for those who are victimized or impacted by sexual assault and those things. Nicole, I want to give you an opportunity to talk a little bit about St. Mary's commitment to help standing up this SART. And what that means to community, why it was important to St. Mary's, and also I think to put a little bit of spotlight that this is something that has been talked about for many, many years, but we're now just getting to the point where the conversation has now turned into a tangible act, right? Mm-hmm. So, Nicole, will you share with us, like I said, Providence St. Mary's commitment to this SART and what that means to us as community.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. First of all, when Cassandra says it is going to happen with that emphasis, it gives me goosebumps because it is going to happen. And I think what we all know is that these things, when they take a collective, building a coalition, it's not just the medical piece, and it's not just the social services, and it's not just the law enforcement. It's all those pieces coming together. So it is really pretty amazing, because I think it has been something that St. Mary's has been committed to for years, but those dominoes start to fall and those milestones start to be met, and then all of a sudden it's going to be a reality. So very happy about that. And Virginia, you mentioned it earlier. It's hard to say happy and excited on such a difficult topic. But St. Mary, our mission is to ease the way for our neighbors and our residents. And really part of it is recognizing the reality of domestic violence and sexual assault, and the fact that part of our role as the nonprofit, faith-based hospital in our area is to fill the gap. You use that phrase too. And so it's time to step in and join the partners who are already doing great work in our community, like Partners Against Violence, and plug in with the area that can be our expertise, which is that medical care component, and it's so important. And so we're really focused on putting all the right people in place. Our donors and board members and community have really come together to help us fund some of those pieces. Mm-hmm. And St. Mary's administration is so committed that they put it in the budget. And that's a key thing, because it's a service that's so needed, and it's not one that anyone intends to make a profit or even recoup. It's really all about making sure you have the service to provide. So I really appreciate that our hospital's leadership knows that, and they're committed to make that commitment, to hire that staff, to set aside the space when space is truly at a premium, and to invest what we need to make sure that we can stand up this unit.
Yes, and I know that there has been work that has been happening in support of standing up this SART, that work started earlier this year in the way of putting together groups and really making sure that there's that information and awareness and engagement, right, of community, that once this is in place and activated, so to speak, that we are not at a loss in terms of community, of knowing that this exists, especially for the most vulnerable who are impacted and affected by it. And so, Nicole, can you share a little bit about what that work has looked like that you're doing? Because I think sometimes we just think, oh, there's a ribbon cutting, and this just happened, and so you guys just thought about this, what, last week or last month, and it happens, right? But can you share a little bit about how in-depth the work has been to make sure that we set this up as best as possible to get the greatest success in establishing the SART?
Absolutely. So I think key is that we recognized earlier in 2024, so even in the spring, that we needed to dedicate a program manager. And so Katie Berrios, who's a nurse practitioner at St. Mary's and has been at our ICU for 14 years, was really inspired by this kind of work, and she went and got all the training necessary to be our program manager for the SART unit. And so she started working on this full time a few months ago as we prepare. And so there is a lot of preparation that goes on to make this happen. So I would say there's the internal things that need to happen. Katie is working on everything from how do you make sure that privacy is a paramount concern for all of our staff and for our patients, of course. How do we make sure that we have the documentation, all those back-end hospital things that need to happen, our badge readers so that the space is set up, our ordering information so that we always have kits and other items on hand when our patients come in. All that back-end work started months ago. And then on the external side, the public-facing side, we've started plugging in with Cassandra Partners Against Violence, with Regina, DVL, and other partners so that we could first start a few things. And that first thing was establishing what we call a multidisciplinary team. So that means getting that medical component set up with our social services component and our law treatment component, all three such important factors in taking care. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Taking care of that individual patient. So Fort Irwin, the DA has been out, the sheriff, and everyone agrees that this is so needed and is ready to go on that multidisciplinary team. And then we've also started doing affinity group meetings. We've had gathering of our elected officials, our educational leaders, and then here in November, we're looking forward to hosting faith leaders and our nonprofits and community agencies.
Yes.
And so as those happen, they plug in, they share what resources they have, and we figure out how we can all then continue to march into 2025 lockstep into this work.
Yes, that's wonderful. And Cassandra, I want to bring you in to this conversation because the work that you do, I use advocacy and advocate, and that's really a huge part of the work that you do and the work that you will be doing in partnership with the SART. But you need some help in that area, right?
We do, yes.
Okay, and can you talk to us about the help that you need? Because I believe that there are listeners today who will be impacted, their hearts will be affected, and want to join you in that advocacy work you do. So can you tell us what you need and how they can get involved with that?
I can. I first want to just emphasize that we collectively as an agency serve over 5,000 services with our survivors. They can be on various levels,
mm-hmm.
but there's no way we could do this work without volunteers.
Okay.
There's absolutely no way we
yeah.
can do this. And so when we're talking about the volunteers, we're talking about a program where you are trained for 40 hours of your time. You get to learn all of the different components that go into how we actually serve our survivors.
Mm-hmm.
We don't just go in as just to be there and sit. We are there for trauma support. We're there for comfort. We're there so that this person has the information when they're ready to receive that information.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are a present help, I would like to say.
Okay.
And with that in mind, it is so important that for our volunteers to know that we do offer this program. And that it is so critical because 1/3 of our total numbers come from the high desert. And to think about that amount of survivor support needed,
right.
it will now be focused at Providence St. Mary because
yeah.
it's coming through our communities.
So if there's somebody out there that's listening and they say, you know what, I think this may be something that I'm interested in doing.
Mm-hmm.
I have a heart for it. Because it, either it happened to me at some point in time, or it happened to somebody that I love and care about, or I just don't want it to happen. I just hate the fact that this is going on, and so what can I do to try and be a support and a help? How can they learn more about the 40-hour training, get connected to you guys so that they can take that training and support? And I'm sure as a nonprofit organization, that funding is always a challenge.
Of course.
Right?
Yes, yes.
And so if I want to help support by way of funding, how can I do that? So how can our listeners get connected to Partners Against Violence?
Well, you can always reach us at our website, which is partnersagainstviolence.org.
So okay.
It's very simple. Or you could call us at our main office, which is area code 909-885-8884, and just let someone know you're interested in our volunteer program. The other thing to know is that in coming into this volunteer program, we have a training that we're pulling together now, and hopefully my understanding from our coordinator is going to be in November.
Great. Perfect
so,
time.
Yes, it's absolutely perfect timing. So if you feel this is something that you want to know more about, or you already know that this is the thing for you to do, give us a call or go to our website and get more information, and we would be happy Great. To talk to you more about what it is that we do.
And one of the ways that community will be able to learn more about the work that Partners Against Violence does is you guys have something very special that's coming up in partnership with the Victor Valley Museum, and I also understand that Providence St. Mary's is being a partner in that as well. Can you share with us what's coming up in that partnership with Victor Valley Museum where community can go out and learn more and have an experience?
I think this is going to be an absolutely amazing experience because this is all survivor-driven. And so what you would find is anywhere from a teenager contributing their art as they feel and express it has affected them. We have artwork from survivors that have been incarcerated. We have artwork from survivors who have gone through our services and have, I think, a feeling of freedom and a feeling of breakthrough. And then we have, on the other end of that spectrum, teens that we work with called Future Now is our program. And they have their thoughts and their impression of sexual assault and how to prevent it moving forward in their generation and generations to come. So you have all of that, but the more popular, I think, installation is What Were You Wearing? That
yes.
has been, I think, a very, very tremendous and have had a tremendous impact on people understanding, our community understanding what it actually means to have gone through this and to see the clothing and wonder why is it that you're asked, what were you wearing? Because we know that has nothing to do with the criminal act that took place.
Yes.
Exactly.
And so, Cassandra, I just want to say that this is an exhibition that you're talking about that will be on display at the Victor Valley Museum, which is located in Apple Valley. Mm-hmm. And the dates for that, the exhibition will run from
November 6th through December 29th, but we do have our opening launch night, which is November the 6th, and that will be from 3 to 5. Mm-hmm. It is free. Come out, enjoy, see, tour, and we will also have a survivor speaking on that particular afternoon.
Wonderful.
So it's going to be very, very, I think, inspiring for anyone to come. So even if you live farther out, it's well worth the trip.
Worth the trip. And I think it falls at a great time because we're talking about Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about Christmas, the holidays. And so as people are looking for things that they can do with family locally, and this has meaning, it has purpose, mm-hmm. and it is also inspiring, as you said. Mm-hmm. It is very inspiring because something that was done and perpetrated on someone that was could possibly have them in bondage, they have now freed themselves and gone through the challenges of meeting that, but they're now free to express that, and they're expressing that in the art that we'll be able to see. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct.
And so, again, the exhibit will run from November the 6th through
December 29th
at the Victor Valley Museum. And, of course, if you want more information on that, how to come out, see the show, how to be a part of the opening reception that takes place on November 6th, you can reach out and find that information on your website, right? Or the phone number, once again, was
909-885-8884.
And so I want to thank you for the amazing work and your commitment and the commitment of your team. And I also want to ask you, Nicole, if there's anything that you want to share before we wrap up this interview and before I have an opportunity to thank you as well for all the wonderful work and resources that are being brought to our community.
Yes, thank you, Regina and Roxanne. We do, with Partners Against Violence, want to make sure that we are promoting public awareness. So if anyone is interested in supporting that, we definitely encourage them to get in touch. We also want to encourage people to become victim advocates with Partners Against Violence and can help connect them with Cassandra and the team as much as possible, and hope to leverage all of our resources. So if there's funding opportunities, if we can host community meetings, if you have groups that need to learn about the information at St. Mary and the medical component of what we're doing with the sexual assault response team, we would be very glad to support and to come out and to provide that information. We also have events coming up on November 4th and November 12th. So November 4th is the date for nonprofit or community-based organization leadership to learn more about SART, and November 12th for faith leaders. For dates, or excuse me, for times and locations, please get in touch with us at stmaryfoundation@providence.org. So that's STMARY foundation@providence.org for more details.
Well, I want to thank both of you ladies sincerely for your commitment, because these things don't, as we see, they don't happen overnight. But they happen because we have advocates like you, Cassandra, who have stayed at this and brought others along. We've got individuals that sit on organizations like St. Mary's Foundation, Nicole, who have been committed to making this a reality and stay at the forefront of making sure that, these services and resources are available here in the high desert. And so it is noble work. It is not work that's necessarily pretty, and it definitely is not easy, right? But it is very necessary. And so personally, I'm glad that the two of you are at the helm of these organizations who are championing this work and making sure that this is not swept under a rug. It is not made more challenging or difficult for those who often find themselves in a very challenging and difficult situation. So on behalf of community, please accept from me our humble thanks and continue to be inspired and do the work as we continue to come alongside as community to support this noble and necessary work. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks again for being a part of our conversation. You can reach out to us and let us know what you want to talk about. Send us an email at RoxanneScafidi@edbroadcasters.com. High Desert Dialogue, Conversations with Regina and Roxanne, has been brought to you by Providence, St. Mary Medical Center. COVID-19 cases are rising in our high deserts. Make your appointment today to protect yourself, your family, and our community. Schedule your free appointment at a convenient location near you through myturn.ca.gov. Message brought to you by trusted friends in the high desert, Providence St. Mary Medical Center, and the San Bernardino County Department of Public Health. We'll talk to you next weekend.